So right now we're in a sermon series through the book of Revelations. As you know, we started that book in September. We had a little break over Christmas, a little break in spring, but now we're sprinting towards the end. Today will be Revelations 15 and 16, and it is about worship under attack.
Yes, indeed. The book of Revelation, when you start the first three chapters, you realize and learn that worship is significant, is really important. It's so important that when the churches go astray, Jesus is ready to talk about it and to wake them up. So this is the first three chapters. But then from chapter four on, we realize that worship is under attack. And it's not, we are not only about the future, you know, yeah, it's in the future. No, there are so many things that are present with us today. And worship, although we have freedom, we come here, everything is, you know, great. But from little by little, things will gather toward that end. So in chapter 5, that was a really interesting question, if you remember this. And the question was asked by an angel. And he's asked, who is worthy to finish the history of this evil age? I think if we have, you're ready with the slides? Because the questions are right there and you can realize what's going on. The answer was short and clear. Yes. There is somebody, only one person. They look forward to find that person. But the only person who is able to do this is Jesus Christ. He is the lion and the lamb. He is able to do this because he has conquered. How he has conquered? By death. I'm like, what? I don't get it. Yeah, because he died and then he resurrected. But now he is able to bring an end to the history of this evil age. Then in chapter 6, we are challenged with a second question that a lot of unbelievers, those who reject salvation, ask, who is able to stand God's wrath? They were thinking, we cannot, but maybe nobody can do that, so we are all doomed. Who are these people, these sinners? Well, and free men. In their naivety, they thought, nobody can stand. But the text gives us at least three categories of people who are able to stand. Those who repent of their sin, those who obey God, and those who live a victorious life. They can stand before God. And there is not even a bit of wrath against them. Only love, and grace. And this is us. Praise God. But since this question, we've learned a lot about worship. We've learned about conquerors and losers, and the worship of the conquerors and the worship of the losers. As conquerors, we learn that when we worship, we need some time to refocus and reengage. And also we learned that our worship should be based on repentance. It's repentance-based worship. This type of worship is rewarded by God. So this is the worship of those who are called in the book the conquerors. They know that this worship separates and sometimes unites, but they are still in God's will. But there is also a group of people, the losers, I call them, because if you have the conquerors, then what you have is, you know, the losers, they will go to the lake of fire. And their worship is really satanic. Remember, the demon worship is really addictive. Satan is the enemy of our worship and the Lord of their worship. And the satanic worship is the inevitable future history of the world. We are going toward that. So no hope for, you're like, oh, what's going on? No, it's under God's control. Okay? Bad news and good news in the same time. But Don't be dismayed by the bad news, because everything is under God's control. Now is the time for the third big question in the book of Revelation. And this question is, who dares not to worship God? You heard well. Not to worship God. If you thought, it's clear that we need to worship God. It's the way it should be. But there are some that are not. They are not willing to worship God. And maybe you ask, well, who is asking this question? Why is this question relevant for us? And do we have an answer to this question? Or is like, a question that nobody has an answer? Well, great time and timing, because chapter 16 and 15 and 16 gives us the answer. All the answers, actually. What we will do today, we are going to read Revelation chapter 15, 1 to 5, and then 5 to 8, and then the whole chapter 16. So, and then I will explain. We are not going to read and then explain. It's too much. So, who wants to help me reading Revelation 15, 1 to 4? Four including. So, the first four. Please, sir.
Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing. Seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last. For with them, the wrath of God is finished. And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who conquered the beast, and the number of his name standing beside the sea of glass with hearts of God in their hands. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? You alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed.
That's it. Yeah. Thank you very much. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? Fear and glorification, both of them, they talk about worship. Who will not worship you? So, I didn't invent anything. It's in the text. Actually, it's in the song. It's a song. So, who dares not to worship God? And this is, my first point, you can go because it's not working for some reason, so just go with it, is an expected question asked by the conquerors. You expect conquerors to ask this question. Yes, they are the ones asking this question, and it's expected from them to say that. Why? Because they worship God, and they were killed for this. Now they are in heaven. And they said, yeah, we suffered, we died, but we are here. Now, who is the one who will not worship God? Who dares to not worship God? Because we worship God and we are good. But who is going to go to the lake of fire? And they are asking a question. I think it's a expected question. Why? The conquerors overcome the Antichrist and his global satanic system. And now they are continuing. So they worship God. They died, but now they continue worshiping God. You see, they worship God and they were killed for that. Now they're in heaven. Worship. It's clear what is going on with them after life. They are worshiping. They continue their worship. It was just a little break. their death. Was just a little bit, but through their death, actually, they worship God. It was part of the worship. And now they are in heaven. They know in heaven you have answers. So they ask the question knowing that they will receive an answer. So who in the world will have the guts not to worship God? And they started to sing a song. I mean, it's the song of Moses and the song of Jesus, the song of the Lamb. Now, the Song of Moses is written about the specific events that took place sometime in the past. If you read Exodus 15, you will understand what's going on. But the Song of the Lamb, the Ode of the Lamb, is written about specific actions that will come. They will, events that will take place. But both of them, past and future, they can be summarized through these words. Great and amazing are your deeds. Well, knowing the Old Testament, you know, right? Knowing the book of Revelation, you know. Great and amazing are your deeds. O Lord God, the Almighty, just and true are your ways. O King of the nations. It's like we hope. It's a song full of hope. We anticipate that all the nations will worship you. Like, it's crazy. Now thinking of this, it's like, you know, you talk about, you know, the situation, the currency. It's like, they are crazy. But imagine all the nations, all the continents will worship Jesus. It's like, I cannot understand this. But it's true. It's the anticipation of these works that Jesus will do. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. You are different. You are unique. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. When you look in Exodus 15, it's almost the same type of language. Oh, your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemies. In the greatness of your majesty, you overthrow your adversary. And there is another one. Who is like you, O God? This is verse 11. O Lord, among the gods, who is like you, majestic in holiness? You hear that? That there are so many words from Exodus 15. They are here, but they match with what Jesus will do in the future. It's so great. This song is an awesome song. It's an awesome ode. And that's why at the end of the service, we will introduce a new song. Is the name of the song is Glorious. And while you will sing it, and hopefully next Sunday we'll sing it again, just to, you know, the lyrics are awesome. They are talking about this awesome, glorious, holy, and wonderful God that we have. And the Song of the Lamb talk about the future actions, great actions, just actions. The song is like an anticipation. The conquerors place the question in the song, because it was really important for them. If there are people who dare not respecting God, not venerating God, magnifying his name, speaking about God as being unusually fine. If there are people like this, we want to know, who are they? And you expect a question like this, right? When you count and wait, and could you give me the next slide? Because I have two questions that think about this. Think about these questions. When you count and you wait your worship toward God, the way you respect God, the way you magnify his word, his name among your peers, how heavy is your worship? Is your worship light, like, you know, 7-Eleven type of worship? Or is really theological, is really rich, is really, you put your heart in it and you praise God? And the second question is, just when you read this, is always in the book of Revelation, you see the community. The community is underlined here. The conquerors are always plural. They enjoy the community of the conquerors. They cannot imagine worshiping God without other conquerors. It's like, you know, I'm the only conqueror. I'm number one. You know, in sports today, you have number one, number two, number three, right? So, and if you have the gold medal, you are the only one. You know, like, oh, I'm the best. There is no such a thing. In heaven, all of us will be on that podium. Number one, we are the conquerors. It's impossible to not be a conqueror and to be in heaven. It's impossible. So you understand? You are already in heaven because you are already conquerors. You conquered the beast. You conquered Satan, and you are still sometimes, you are beaten up, but then you rise again. You come back again. The righteous do this. Okay? So it's about the community of the conquerors. They all sing. They all harmonize their voices, their words, even their lyre. They play guitar like an instrument. So they, what is in heaven is a joint worship service. Like here, we are two separate churches, but this is a joint service. Imagine what we are doing today is normal in heaven. All the worshipers, they join in worship and they harmonize because Jesus is the only one toward the whole worship goes. But think about this. If heaven is about a community of conquerors, do you really cherish the communal worship service like this one? Your worship talks about being a loser or a conqueror. A loser on earth is a conqueror in the new heaven, and the conqueror on earth is a loser in the lake of fire. So what portrait fits you better? I hope and I anticipate that all of us will love to be together worshiping the Lord. Because what we do here for an hour and a half, imagine where we will do this for an entire eternity. It's like, in heaven there is no watch. It's like, oh man, it's 11:35. I need to finish up this sermon because after 12, people are going like, what are you doing? I'm hungry. Okay, it's supposed to be 12, not 12:05 or 12:15. What's going on here? there is no watch there. We will lose ourselves in worship. And after thousands and thousands and thousands of years, we'll think like, man, we just got here. We just got here. It feels like we just got here. But the Lord said, oh, no. In your time, it's thousands and thousands and thousands of years. But in my time, it's this. You cannot count, the time. It's like, no, it's only worship. So who is going to not worship the Lord? They will count their every second of their eternity. We, as conquerors, I don't care, man. I'm in the right place. I'm in the right place. I don't have to go anywhere else because the Lord is here. Well, maybe if in the lake of fire, people will try to get out of there, they cannot. I want to die. Well, too bad. Death is in there. Well, how about Hades? Too bad. Hades is in there. So what else is beyond this? Well, only heaven, but you have no access in there. So you understand? It's so important to start our conqueror type of worship today. And by the way, we are on the right track here. This is what I'm saying. But in verse 5 on until the end of the chapter 15, this question, who dares not to worship God, it's a relevant question due to the of worship season. And maybe you think, what is that? Well, let's read and then I will explain. So who wants to read 5 to 8? Please, Chrissy. And having Thank you. I want to remind you verse 1 of the same chapter. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing, seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last. For with them the wrath of God is finished. You understand? These bowls, there are not, after these bowls, there is nothing else. That's it. This is the end. This will solve the problem. The sin is so solemn. The sanctuary of the tent of the testimony, angels coming out ready for action. One living being, one of the four, is giving the seven angels the bowls. Oh, by the way, have you realized when we read the text that these bowls are, where is that? Verse 7, they are golden. Golden. Do you realize this? When God judges, he is majestic even in his judgments. I'll give you a little parenthesis. You know, when you go to the mountains in the Alps, you know, Austria. When you hear Austria, you hear Alps, right? And you go there and you enjoy the view. It's like, oh, praise God, because he created all of these. You know you're wrong, right? Because these mountains are not part of the creation. These mountains are part of the judgment, of the flood. At the end of the flood, God said, okay, mountains, come up now. And when you go in the mountains and you like this, just remember, you just admired how majestic was God's judgment. So God is majestic even in his judgments. So when he gives the bowls with, you know, the wrath and oh man, in chapter 16, you'll see what is in there. But all the bowls are, you know, golden. God is majestic. He loves, you know, he's very fashionable when even in his judgment. So, but come back. Why the sanctuary? Do you see this? After a look in the sanctuary of the tent of witness or the tent of testimony. Why the sanctuary? Well, because in the old covenant, God met people at the tent of the witness, right? This tent of witness or the tent of testimony. And he was meeting them to judge them according to the law of God, right? By the way, when we talk about the sanctuary, we talk about the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies, that room, that square room, well, actually, it was more like a cube. There was only furniture there. Do you remember what type of furniture was in it? Huh? The Ark of the Covenant. It was like a box, right? With two cherubims like this. What was the significance of the Ark of the Covenant? It was? I didn't ask what it was. Now you're stealing my thunder. I'm trying to build up. Okay, it's okay. But it was God's throne. It was the throne of mercy, right? The cherubims, actually, they were bowing down before the Lord. And the Lord was sitting on the throne. That was God's throne. But inside the throne was the law. You see, that's why after this, I looked and the sanctuary of the tent of witness in heaven was opened. Okay, only one time was also open and remained open when Jesus died. But that was the sanctuary down here, you know, the copy. But now we are talking about the real deal. And out of the sanctuary out of God's presence came the seven angels. Oh. This is the place where God dwells. It's filled with God's presence. And it will come a day in the future. Mark my words, it will come a day in the future when worship will not be possible. God will not be there to be worshiped for a limited time, and we know what is that time. For a limited time, the access to the throne of God will be closed. After that time, the access to the throne will be reopened. Okay? But this will be a closed. The worship will be shut. The throne of mercy and grace will not be available anymore in that time, because God will focus on the judgment. Do you see this at the end? And the sanctuary, not the whole temple, but the sanctuary was filled where the throne of God is. But we are not talking about the copy. We are talking about the real deal. The heavenly one, right? The sanctuary was filled with smoke from what? From the glory and the power. Well, the judgment is God, you know, flexing his muscles. He's doing this. It's his power. It's his glory. And from his power. And no one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. Whew. The question asked by the conquerors of the beast is relevant, because those who dare not to worship God will have a season during the tribulation when God, even if they want to worship God, God will say, "I'm sorry, man. I'm not here for worship. I'm here for judgment." God will focus his attention only on the judgment. Do you understand how harsh and how tough will be that moment? This is scary. Another time in history when this was scary, at least to me. I don't know. Maybe you're like, I don't know. You just come up with this. You know, I'm not buying it. Well, to me, this is really scary. It is like, you know, when Jesus was on the cross and he said, "God, my God, my God, why do you forsaken me?" That was scary. If the Son of God would say that, that's scary. If the sanctuary is shut, that is scary. It's a moment, just realize that all God's attention is not to, "Yeah, I want some worship." It's, "I want some justice. I'm done with grace. Now is justice time." Well, can you imagine something? You know, you come in the morning, it's like 10:30, you come to church, and you can't come in. Not because you are late, but because it's a huge and dense smoke and cloud, and nobody can open the door to go in. Like, "But Lord, we want to worship you." "I'm sorry, I'm busy now." Would you feel it? Would you think, "Okay, I'll come back next Sunday"? You know, "It's okay. We have enough time. We have our, you know, small group during the week, and we have the prayer group. That's okay." Or you would be, "Man, I'm scared. If this happens, I'm really scared. What's going on here?" Where you would be? You know where I will be. I will be in there. I'll be scared. Like, what in the world is going on? This is not possible. Imagine that you love a person so much and you know that person is so loving and is so graceful that sometimes you think, "Man, you are too naive." Sometimes. Do you picture a person like this? And you're, you know, so loving, so graceful that sometimes you think, "Man, you are stupid." That you... you make so many mistakes because you are too graceful. Huh? You got it? You have that person in your mind? How about you meet that person and that person is red? And he's angry. It's full of hate. Is that scary? Is that scary? Well, you think that's so strange. That's so alien. This is not the person that I know. Let me read something from the prophet Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah 28:21. Mark this verse in the Old Testament. It is really important. Isaiah 28:21. It says this. For the Lord will rise up as on Mount Perazim, as in the valley of Gibeon. He will be roused to do his deed. Strange is his deed. And to work his work, alien is his work. God is angry here. Anger is alien to him. Anger is strange to him. Do you have... Okay. I still have 10 minutes. Okay. Just bear with me. Before God created everything... this is really important. Before God created everything... Before God created the first angel... Do you think God was angry? Before God created, when he was alone in the three person being God in three, one in three, and in the Holy Trinity, do you think God was angry? No. How? This is a strange, this is an alien thing to God. You know why? Because this is what God said. God is love. We know that, right? God is love. I mean, no doubt. God is love, and he created angels and Adam and Eve and whatever. And he says, I love you. What answer do you expect back? I love you too. But Satan was the first one that he said, I hate you. So God said, I love you. Satan said, I hate you. And in that moment, God was angry. Why? Because in his love and in his holiness and in his justice, he cannot hear, I hate you. He cannot. He cannot stand. So God said, I love you. The answer is, I hate you. And God said, I'm angry on you. This is God's answer. And what you see here in the book of Revelation is the end of God's wrath. Is the end of God's indignation. Is the end of God's anger. And that's right. You expect that this anger should be like at max, right? I expect that. God knows this is the end. No more anger afterwards. The seven bowls, golden bowl, they are the last ones containing God's anger. So, who in the world are those who say, we don't care? Who are those that raise their hand after they see a lot of their friends and family and relatives dead by now? And they survived. Who are they that the survivors who at the end they still want to fight God? You understand why all these conquerors, they are like, who are the foolish ones? They are really stupid doing this. When you see God's power and you still want to do this, man, you're stupid. Now let's read chapter 16. We are ready to cheat. Okay, who wants to read chapter 16? I know it's a big one, but And I know it's really late. I will just point who are they, but I'm not going to explain because it's too much. Everything else is in Google Classroom. Just go there, download the whole sermon, read it. But we are safe. We can do this. Okay, so chapter 16. Better to read this than hear me saying anything. Okay, let's do this. The whole chapter 16. This is the end. This is the end of God's wrath. The text is divided, just a few words about the text, is divided in two sections. The first four bowls are on a personal level. The last three are on a political level. You read after this, in these three, the kingdom, the word kingdom, so many times. So you understand it's more political than personal. And I found it interested. And could you change to the next slide? This is what it just occurred to me. In Revelation chapter 5, who will gonna stand God's wrath? And these are those who genuinely repent, submits to God, and lives a victorious life. Interesting. In chapter 16, you have 15. You have. No, 16. Sorry, what? I put 15. It's not 15, it's 16. 16, those who are disturbed by the repentance of others. You see exactly the opposite. These are the categories of people who don't want to worship God. They said, you know, Jerusalem stands out like, let's kill them all. And they will try to gather all the people and with signs and wonders to get them there to destroy Jerusalem. Why? Because Jerusalem will be the last citadel of repentance. And they will say, we will finish them all. But you know how they gather to that place? With a lot of swords and with no technology. Everything is destroyed by now. And they are like, let's kill them. You know, stay home. No, they want to do this. And he's like, what are you doing? And in this moment, you read chapter verse 15. Behold, hey, church, this is for us. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake. Church, stay awake. Otherwise, you will be like them. I just remember how they will come to destroy Jerusalem. You will be like them, naked. Naked. And I don't want to surprise you. So stay awake. Yeah, you understand? It's wonderful. There are so many things in this the text. But then those who live ostentatiously against God. Read verse 21. Let's read verse 21 again. And hail about 100 pounds. How many kilos is that? 100 pounds. 50? Yeah, 48. Do you understand that? A chunk of ice, only one, of 48 kilos coming from the sky. And interesting, not everybody is killed. That's interesting. Not everybody is killed. Because after this hailstorm, they cursed. I mean, you cannot curse if you are dead. There are still survivors, and they cursed God. They said, oh, we got you. Yes, we are still here. You understand how much hate? How much hate? They will curse God for the plague of the hail because the plague was too severe. But we've made it. We've made it. And they still curse God. And then the third category, those who cannot bear personal humiliation. Verse 9. They were scorched by the fierce heat and they cursed the name. Again, cursed the name of God. Who had power of these plagues, they did not repent and give him glory. Do you see how repentance is connected with worship? We as church, we cannot worship unless we repent. And that's why, now you understand chapter 2 and 3, Revelation? All seven churches had to repent. Why? Because Jesus wanted them ready to worship in an authentic and significant way. You cannot that. But these guys, they didn't repent. They didn't worship. What they did? They cursed God again. Blasphemed God again. This is intriguing. Scary. I want to conclude here. Let me get you back few years ago, Rudolf Höss, the commandant of Auschwitz concentration camp, and there is another guy, Otto Mohl. Could you change the, yeah, these two guys. Look at them. They were interrogated during the Nuremberg process, and we know that Otto Mohl, he was really crazy. He was a sadist. Crazy sadist person who, by his own hand, he killed at least 3,000 people. He loved to kill people. I when I read Wikipedia, which is not, I mean, you can find better information, but when I read about him, I was ready to vomit. This guy was a really crazy guy. And he was the head executioner at Auschwitz. You know, when they were interrogated by the Americans, they said, no remorse. No remorse of whatever they had done. Nothing. They said, you know what? The extermination of the Jews was an unfortunately thing that had to be done. And we were there to do it. But believe me, it was hard work. Rudolf Höss, the commandant of Auschwitz, he said, you know, I had nervous breakdown. Do you know that it's not easy to kill babies and kill people? It's really hard stuff. But somebody had to do this, and we were there to do it, but we didn't like that. It was tough work. Actually, I found out that both of them, they were decorated by Adolf Hitler with the War Merit Cross, first class with swords. Really high commandment. They considered that they were carrying the burdens of the whole world. Nobody was able to do this, but they sacrificed and was really tough doing this. Why I'm saying this? Is this disturbing to you? Because to me it was like, what in the world are you talking about? Now move from these two guys to the ones who they don't want to worship God. Okay? These people will fight with God and will hate him being worshipped because they will believe. They are believers. Like these two guys, they were believers. They believed in a system and they thought they were doing a good job, a good thing to the humanity. Fast forward in time, these people who will fight with God, they will think, you know what? God did all of this to us. He destroyed our cities. The climate changed drastically. The mountains collapsed, all of them. The whole universe started to collapse and the earth became unsustainable. Something must to be done. I cannot do it. That's true. They're believers. Something must to be done. And we are here to do it. It's disturbing. But they are believers. They will believe that Satan is the good guy because they worship Satan. And they will believe that God is the bad guy. And they are okay to fight against God. These people will be the last standing of the brave new world. You are not like this. We are not like this. Could you change the last slide? This is what I want you to remain with, to stay with this. I challenge you to be part of the community of the conquerors. We are not like this. Not a bit. A community of God worshipers. A community of ode singing, lyre playing conquerors. Sir, I don't play any instrument. I'm not. even when I sing, I'm so bad. It doesn't matter. In heaven, you will. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Things that you never done before, you will do it. Like singing, like an opera singer playing like nobody was able to play on earth, and riding horses like nobody else. Three things that as the church we are assured we will do it, and more to come, okay? But do you see the common denominator here? Is the community. Is the community. We are here because we are a community of God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Okay, I know it's late. Do you have any questions or comments? Because we have that this song, Glorious, we will sing it. But do you have any comments or something that you've learned? I know we don't have enough time for the small groups, but... Indeed. So imagine eternity. If God is so wonderful in his judgments, imagine eternity. Woo! Looking forward. Thank you. Anyone else? A comment or a question? Anything? Yes. Sure. Okay, so during the end times, the question is if during the if these end times the church will be there, or if we are there, it's our responsibility to go and preach the gospel for those. Okay, my personal conviction is that the church will be taken before the tribulation. There are other, so there are four major ideas about the rapture. I hold the first one, the pre-trib. But there is one in the middle of the tribulation. There is one at the end of the tribulation. It's one that is called pre-wrath, that is between middle and end. So there are four. My problem with these three is that you know when they will come. Because you have 7 years. It's limited time. You know what is going on. And you think, okay, next is rapture. Whereas in the scripture, starting with Jesus and... finishing with even with Paul, and they said the coming of the Lord will be like a thief in the night. When you don't expect, we are not prepared. You are kidnapped. It's like, imagine that you walk up in the morning and think, okay, today I will be kidnapped. I need to prepare, you know, and who in the world is doing this? That's not kidnapping, right? So the rapture is like this. It's something unexpected. You're not ready. Oh, yeah, I'm not properly dressed for a kidnapping. But then, during the tribulation, even at the end, you see angels. There is in chapter 14, there is an angel with the eternal gospel. Eternal. When the people will not be around to witness, angels will do this. Why? Because God is pressing the world with one hand, and with the other hand is saving those who want to be saved. So I don't know if this will be our responsibility or the believers, but there will be believers in that time. Although when you will believe, you will be killed. In that time, it will be like a sacrifice. You know, you sign your death sentence. But and when the people will not be enough, you know, to reach with the gospel, an angel will do that. So God is faithful. He will save as many people. But the people that I was talking about, they're really convinced that God is the villain here. And they are fighting the good fight until they will reach the lake of fire. And maybe you think, please let me add this. This is really good. Maybe you think, oh, how about this? When they will be there, if they will repent, what happens to them? Bad news. In hell, nobody repents. Remember when Jesus said, you know that story with the Lazarus and the rich guy? The rich guy said, oh, by the way, I have five more brothers. could you send Lazarus to them? Because I don't want them to come here. And Abraham said, nope. They have Moses and the prophets. And when you read this, it's like, that's awkward. This is a question, and the answer is not about the question. Why? Because the question was actually stating something else. I am here because I didn't know this place existed. My brothers, they don't know. So send Lazarus. And God said, no. Abraham said, no. They have the scriptures. You knew about this, but ignored this. Now you're in this place because you wanted to get in here. So and this is only Hades. This is only the temporary state. Imagine when they will receive their bodies and they will be thrown in the lake of fire. The whole eternity, no one will repent. They will all fight with God because it was not fair. This is not fair. We are here. So these people are really the villains of the world. And in the book of Revelation, from the beginning to the end, this is how they are called, the dwellers of the earth. The dwellers of the earth. This is a technical name for those who don't want to repent. They don't need to worship God because they know better. Like the two guys from Auschwitz, they will think they are doing a good job. They are on the good side. But actually, they are on the wrong side. So, yeah. Well, very good question. Thank you. Anyone else? Comment or question? Yep. The mark of the beast is because they are loyal to the Antichrist and they are proud to be of the Antichrist. What? Yeah. Lisa?
Could it be that this Mr. Hurst and all, that they're seared their conscience with many little
things?
And more and more?
Uh-huh.
That's what I fear. Not to, when God calls to repentance, not to follow.
Not to follow, yeah. It could be that. It could be that. But for some people, they are convinced. I started to read a lot about this because I knew some ideas, but I didn't, you know. And I found the secretary of the guy with the propaganda during the Goebbels, right? Yeah, Goebbels. His secretary, one of the five, he had five. One of them, she was 105 or 110, and she gave her last interview about this. She said, you know what? I didn't know all these things happen. Actually, I had the file of, oh, man, there is a girl that she was in the resistance, Schoeffler. Yeah, that's it. Could you say it again? Exactly. She had her file in her hand, and she didn't read it. She thought, she deserves this. And she said, I don't have to apologize for anything. That was my job. I did my job. Like, what in the world? A lot of people died, and you are just doing your job? Goebbels was really, he believed that. So why I'm saying this, because it's the closest, right? The closest example. They were really believers, not just the conscience. They thought, this is our call. It's the call of my life. It, like now, you believe that the call of your life is to worship Jesus. They were like you. But on the other side, convinced. They were not like, oh, yeah, I have to do it. No, they were convinced. So maybe in the beginning, it's a process. But afterwards, like Pharaoh, when he opposed God, and at one point God said, okay, done. And he closed his conscience. I don't know how to say that, but he hardens his heart. His conscience was not responsive anymore. Not because he wanted in the past, but now God made it to be like this. It's a point in time when you're hardening your heart. When you cross that point, God says, okay, you want this? You have it now. It's all over. It's a principle. Imagine, Judah, right? Judah was idolater. And God said, oh, you love idolatry? I'll send you in Babylon, the mother of idolatry, right? So it's, you want this? Lake of fire. I do believe that God is the greatest gentleman. He said, oh, you lived your life like this? You built up your life. So you worked so much to have your life like this. Here you have it. It's for the entire eternity. So it's God's principle. It's not something that we come up with, you know. Maybe you're right. I didn't thought about that. I inclined more on the other side. But now that you mentioned, probably in the beginning, their conscience was like, this guy, Otto Moll, you know, he was a gardener. He was a gardener before all these things. And then he became the worst sadist. Sorry, this is not a history, you know, but I thought that this example brings very well what the future will hold for other people. But we are not of these. If they and the atheists can be like, really, they believe in this, how about us? We know God. We know who he is. We know that Jesus saved us. We need to be more challenged to believe and to love the family of all the other conquerors. Well, it's really late. Sorry, if blame me. Okay. But it's really interesting. The book of Revelation talks so loud about worship.